the beginning of chapter 10 of Matthew's Gospel, we find Jesus sending out the 12 disciples to preach that the kingdom of heaven is near. He gives them a list of instructions, and our second reading that we've just heard is part of these instructions. Amongst the warnings he gives are the beginning words of our reading. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. By this he means that they must expect what happens to him will also happen to them. The Pharisees have gone even so far as to say that Jesus was a follower of Beelzebub, the devil. Mark and Luke also record that the accusation is that Jesus' good works were performed in the power of the devil. And those who follow Jesus are going to be tarred with the same brush. But don't be afraid, says Jesus. Eventually, the truth will be revealed. Up to now, the disciples have been taught mainly in private, but from now on, they are to proclaim the good news from the rooftops. Flat rooftops, remember. We should remember that they are being sent out before the events of Easter, before the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, before Jesus' arrest as ascent into heaven, and before the Great Commission. We have the advantage of all those things over those disciples. To be sure, they had a story to tell, even at this stage, a marvelous story, accompanied by deeds of power and compassion. But more, indeed far more, must be reserved until later, when these men will be better qualified. However, in these short verses, Jesus is preparing his disciples for opposition and even persecution. Now, being sent out to continue the good works that he has been doing, and also to proclaim the coming of the kingdom of God. In doing so, they must not be surprised by opposition. These are part of a list of warnings that are recorded earlier in the chapter. You may be handed over to the local authorities. You may be flogged in the synagogues. You may be betrayed. You may be hated because of me. No wonder that Jesus finishes by saying, "But do not be afraid." Clearly, Jesus is warning that those who follow him will have to expect the same reactions, the same emotions, the same treatment that he had to endure. All those warnings come echoing down through the ages to all that follow the Lord Jesus Christ. If we look back at the history of the Christian church, we will see opposition and persecution in every era. Persecution and suffering is certainly with us today. In many parts of our world today, those warnings are so very relevant. Now, Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, has called for action against the intolerable persecution of Christians. You may have seen and noticed the slide on the screen before the service. Oh, it's there now. Good. With the symbol of the word nun, which is painted on the doors of Christians today in Mosul. And that makes them a target for persecution. And that information is from our Archbishop. We had the advantage of a magazine called Barnabas Aid. Barnabas is an organization that provides aid and suffering to Christians today. And this copy arrived on Friday last, which I thought quite timely. And it contains a focus on many areas of our world today where there is active persecution of Christians. On Palm Sunday last, there were attacks in Egypt, India, and Pakistan. In Tanta, which is north of Cairo, a suicide bomber ran up the aisle of the Coptic Christian church and blew himself up near the communion table. In Pakistan, security forces foiled an attempted bombing in Lahore when they arrested a woman who admitted that she intended to blow herself up in the church at Easter. And later, another suicide bomber targeted Christians celebrating Easter in the park. 79 people were killed. That's this year. Two churches in Pakistan have been set on fire. Christian persecution in Turkey is growing. Sydney, Australia, a man was attacked on a train because of the cross he wore around his neck and it was ripped off him. In the Central African Republic, despite the presence of UN peacekeeping forces and of being a Christian majority nation, the election of a Christian president caused at least 50 people in three Christian communities to be attacked and killed. All this is this year. The so-called Islamic State has called their followers to attack targets in their own countries. Now, I'm not mentioning all these horrible incidents to cause alarm. But we must be aware of the fact that our brothers and sisters of Christians are suffering today. But also, I feel that the warning must come closer to home. Surely the events in our country, in Manchester, in Forest Gate, in Westminster, must alert us to the fact that while these may not be specifically anti-Christian events, they reveal that we are living in an increasingly violent society. It could happen anywhere. We must stay alert. We must be aware of anything that diminishes the Christian values of our society. The signs are often very small, seemingly insignificant. Cards saying Happy Festival at Christmas. Not Christmas. Objections to Christian crosses, to jewellery, by some organisations. And the National Trust supported egg hunts this Easter. They cut out the word Easter. I suspect each one here could contribute examples of this diminution of the Christian values of our society here in England today. The warning words of Jesus that are recorded in our passage in Matthew are relevant today to every follower of Christ. But just as important are the words he gives of encouragement. So do not be afraid of them, he says. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of the Father. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. By these encouragements, we may be assured of our Heavenly Father's providential care for us. It doesn't say that no sparrow will fall. We know they do. But here is a picture of God in control of everything. And we must keep this picture in our minds. Every detail of our lives, even the hairs of our head, are known to God. And we're not to think that no Christian will ever go bald, Norman. But God knows, God cares for us. He cares in every detail. And now another promise. Jesus says, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before our Father in heaven. We've got somebody in heaven on our side cheering us on. And when these horrible events occur, whether abroad or here, keep that in mind. God cares for you, and the picture is every hair of your head. Try counting them. Whatever happens to the body of a Christian, the soul is held safe in God's hands. And I'm finishing with some encouragement that Peter writes in his first epistle. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Amen.